Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew with a quick review of our top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. A 300,000-year-old throwing stick in Germany reveals more about the ingenuity of distant human relatives. An Iron Age burial, including a sword and a mirror from an offshore British island, turns out to be a woman. A study of part of the Mississippi Delta in Louisiana concludes that shell mittens and other prehistoric sites should be considered key parts of the environment that serve to protect the land from the encroaching sea. And a site in Vietnam has yielded traces of spices that formed the earliest known curry outside India, reflecting the early development of the spice trade. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue this year, including a tour of Andean sites in Peru in October. You can still join us. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of July 23rd through the 29th, 2023. We begin this week in Germany, where the discovery of a double-pointed stick gives new understanding of human behaviors 300,000 years ago. As reported by Discover magazine, an ancient stick once used for hunting gives researchers new insight into early human skill. The stick was discovered in Schöningen, Germany, the site of the earliest large-scale record of human-made wooden tools. Early humans used a variety of wooden tools, but few have survived to the present day. In excavations that began in the 1990s, Schöningen has produced a famous trove of wooden spears dating to 300,000 years ago within the Middle Pleistocene, as well as thousands of other remains, all preserved from decay by the deep waterlogged soils of an open-pit coal mine. The newly analyzed throwing stick comes from the same horizon as the spears. Measuring 30 inches long, it is made from spruce, was likely lost while hunting, and was then rapidly buried in mud. There it stayed for hundreds of thousands of years. The stick is in excellent condition, considering the amount of time, although it has some fungal decay and root damage. The new study used micro-CT scanning, three-dimensional microscopy, and Fourier transform infrared spectroscopy to compile a technological and taphonomic analysis of the tool and its context, revealing the sophisticated woodworking techniques used by early humans. These Middle Pleistocene hominins would likely have been Neanderthals or another early human species. The multiple steps they would have used to create the tool demonstrate their understanding of raw material properties. According to archaeologist Dirk Leder, crafting the tool would have involved cutting and stripping off the bark, carving it into an aerodynamic shape, scraping away more of the surface, seasoning the wood to avoid cracking and warping, and sanding it for easier handling. Archaeologists first discovered the stick in 1994, but weren't sure whether to consider it an anomaly until they discovered a second, similar tool. Wooden tools are less understood than ancient stone tools, but have revealed a great deal about ancient societies. The study suggests that the stick was used to hunt medium-sized game, such as red or roe deer, or perhaps small, fast-moving animals such as hare and birds. The tool was designed to be thrown rotationally at the prey, and dark areas on the points could be the traces of blood or fat. The stick may also have served as a toy spear for children, a practice seen in other hunter-gatherer societies. Such miniature versions of adult weapons allowed children to practice their skills and participate in hunting. The stick's slightly curved shape, however, doesn't reflect the other spears recovered from the site. The analysis of the weapon appears in PLOS One, an online journal of the Public Library of Science. We now go to the Isles of Scilly, off the coast of Cornwall in England, where researchers have solved a decades-long mystery over whether an Iron Age warrior was a man or woman. In 1999, a farmer discovered a prehistoric skeleton in a stone-walled chamber in a potato field, along with a 2,000-year-old sword and a mirror. The age of these items dates them to Britain's Iron Age, from 750 BC to AD 43. During that period, burials of men normally held swords, while women were buried with mirrors, so finding both objects with one skeleton left archaeologists with a puzzle. Now, a new analysis of tooth enamel has revealed that the warrior was most likely a woman. As reported by the BBC, the findings show women could have had a leading role in warfare in Iron Age Scilly. Scientists in the US re-examined the remains using a new process that looks at tooth enamel. Previous attempts to identify the remains using DNA analysis on the bones had failed due to their extreme disintegration. According to Professor Glendon Parker from the University of California at Davis, tooth enamel, the hardest and most durable substance in the human body, contains a protein with links to either the X or Y chromosome. Thus, the enamel analysis can determine sex using this protein, which survives well compared to DNA. According to Professor Parker, the analysis reveals a 96% probability that the remains belong to a woman. According to Dr. Sarah Stark, a human skeletal biologist working for Historic England, the organization that carried out the analysis, the findings provide evidence of a leading role for a woman in warfare in Iron Age Scilly. More broadly, this sheds new light on the role of women in Iron Age Britain. The combination of a sword and a mirror suggests this woman had high status within her community and may have played a commanding role in local warfare, such as organizing or leading raids on rival groups. This could suggest that female involvement in raiding and other types of violence was more common in Iron Age society than previously thought. The sword and mirror were returned to the Isles of Scilly Museum in 2002. Our third story takes us to the United States, where earthen shell mounds left by indigenous people in the Mississippi River Delta contribute to biodiversity and the area's resilience to erosion today. As reported by the science news site phys.org, indigenous communities in what is now Louisiana mined resources from the environment, and in that process created earthen and shell mounds on the marsh grass coasts. These were not only trash heaps, they also served as strategic vantage points for surveying the coastal plains. Today, coastal erosion, industry, and other land use practices endanger the River Delta's ecosystem and cultural history. The new study by archaeologists at Florida State University suggests that coastal restoration practices should orient restoration efforts toward the entire ecosystem, including archaeological sites. Doing this would not just preserve the sites, it would also take into account how their locations and structure work effectively to hold the coastal lands in place. The earthen mounds, shell rings, and ridges serve as cultural landmarks because they are places of significance to indigenous peoples and later historic communities. They also protect the ecosystem by helping the environment resist erosion over time. These archaeological sites were often built on high elevations and then grew taller from the piled debris. In recent decades, the Mississippi River Delta has been cut with canals to support the transportation of products like oil and natural gas. This has caused an influx of brackish delta water into these freshwater environments, killing marsh grasses and contributing to the loss of land. Erosion, sea level rise, and subsidence also deteriorate the environment. The study's co-authors were Jair Madhusudan Mehta, assistant professor in Florida State University's Department of Anthropology, and Elizabeth Chamberlain, assistant professor of archaeology at Wageningen University in the Netherlands. They analyzed archaeological sites in the Lafourche Subdelta, a small subregion of the Mississippi River Delta. The study included mapping the landscape and topography using light detection and ranging, or LIDAR mapping, a remote sensing method that employs a pulsed laser to measure land surface elevation. They also used aerial photography to observe vegetation density. Next, they combined this with understanding the cultural significance of the sites through use of written records of indigenous oral histories and state-curated archaeological site archives. The results underscore the reuse of the sites for different purposes over the centuries. The team hopes their findings will influence the management and restoration of the coastal marsh ecosystem. Their study appears in the journal Humanities and Social Sciences Communications. We end this week in Southeast Asia, where archaeologists have discovered the oldest evidence of curry ever found outside India. At the Ok Eo Archaeological Complex in southern Vietnam, archaeologists found 8 unique spices, originally from different sources, which were likely used for making curry around 2,000 years ago. Some of these spices would have had to be transported over several thousand kilometers by sea, indicating that a far-flung trade network already existed at this time. As reported by Phys.org, the spices were discovered while researchers studied the function of a set of stone grinding tools known as pisani, which the people of the ancient Funan kingdom likely used to grind their spices into powder. The team of Australian and Chinese researchers used a technique called starch grain analysis to analyze microscopic remains recovered from a range of grinding and pounding tools excavated from the Ok Eo site. Starch grains are tiny structures found within plant cells that can be preserved over long periods. Identifying them can reveal plant use, diet, cultivation practices, and even environmental conditions. Of the 40 tools analyzed, 12 produced a range of spices including turmeric, ginger, finger root, sand ginger, galangal, clove, nutmeg, and cinnamon. This means the occupants of the site had indeed used the tools for food processing. The techniques used to date the site and tools showed that the Ok Eo complex was occupied between the 1st and 8th centuries AD. The microscopic remains of spices on the surface of the grinding tools come from that entire time range. These spices wouldn't all have been available in the region naturally. Therefore, someone would have transported them at some point, not just across land, but also across the Indian or Pacific Ocean. The new analysis thus is evidence of the origins of the vast spice trade system, which eventually spanned the globe. Interestingly, the curry recipe used in Vietnam today has not deviated significantly from the ancient Ok Eo period. Key components such as turmeric, cloves, cinnamon, and coconut milk have remained consistent in the recipe. By completing more dating on the site, researchers hope to be able to understand when and how each type of spice or plant started to be traded globally. The new data are published in the journal Science Advances. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica online at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.